You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Hey, I got a New Year's type song, I think. I came across this one, bought it a while back, and been wanting to learn it. And New Year's is a good time because this song just talks about, I don't know exactly what's going to happen or when it's going to happen, but I know one thing. We're almost home. One of these mornings, we're going to wake up and we're going to be home. And I'm talking about home forever, not home temporary. This is Almost Home. Listen, can't you hear it coming? Prophecies are being fulfilled. Look at how this world is changing. It's like a dream, only it's real. But soon the battle will be over. We'll sing the victory song. Oh, child, we're getting closer. So come on, keep pressing on. We're almost home. Home. Hunger and diseases. Wrong is right in this world. Right is wrong. People trying to deceive us. Can't you see? It won't be long. Soon the race will be completed, and we've got to finish strong. Jesus will be there to greet us. Oh, church, keep pressing on. We're almost home. Soon the battle will be over, and we're gonna sing the victory song. And every day it's getting closer. Oh, children, keep pressing on. We're almost home. We're almost home. It won't be long. We're almost home. We're almost home,
Jordan. All right.
Yes, sir.
Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Romans, chapter 15. Romans 15, and if you'd like to have a Bible, would you lift your hand? We'll get you one. While they're doing that, I forgot to mention we have a little pamphlet back there that we put together called What Have I Done and What Do I Do Now? It's for those that have been saved. And there's a lot of confusion about salvation. That's why you see different churches on every other corner. And so this is just Bible verses that let you stay in and let you in the privacy of your home or your room or wherever you are, read your Bible and learn what your Bible has to say about it. We also have some calendars for 2012, and on the back of them is the plan of salvation. Then after a person's saved, many people, I think, get kind of rattled because it's the beginning of a warfare. You've just made an enemy with the devil. And it's not an easy run. I can tell you that now. If you're looking, see, we got people that are so afraid that they're going to get turned down that they say all you have to do is trust Christ and he'll put you in a Cadillac and build you a three-story home and you'll never have another worry. You can forget that, baby. That's not happening. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, there's a verse that probably be good for all of us to remember, because when we read the Bible, sometimes things in the Old Testament, just we don't pick up on them much. We have a hard time with some of the terminology. None of us are Jews. None of us know anything about the Jewish religion to speak of. And that's pretty much what the Old Testament is about, with the exception that it also, I found out this, Jewish men and Gentile men are still sinners. Jewish women and Jewish and Gentile women are still sinners. Jewish kids and Gentile kids are still brats. But here's what Paul said in Romans 15, verse 4. He said, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." He said they're teaching us something. They're written for our learning. And so I want to take you back tonight to one of those guys that we can learn some things from. His name is Joshua. I want you to go back to the book of Joshua, chapter 6. And let me give you just the setting of where we are. Joshua took the place of Moses. Joshua was God's appointee to take Moses' place and lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Moses is now died, and Joshua has the people. They have crossed the Jordan River on dry land, just like Moses and the Israelites crossed the Red Sea on dry land. They have come to the main city called Jericho, and they're going to go in and take Jericho. Joshua is going to be their leader to put them in the land that God had promised them and given them the boundaries of, the land that flowed with milk and honey, called it. They go into the land, and they are going to take Jericho, and God gives some instructions concerning that. So in verse 16 of Joshua chapter 6, he said, "And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent." Joshua had sent over some messengers, and Rahab the harlot had hid them, had protected them. She had heard about what God was doing with the nation of Israel. She believed what she heard, and she said, "Will you save my family?" And they said, "If you'll do this, you hang this red rope outside you." And she lived on the wall of Jericho. It was a huge wall. You could drive chariots on the wall. It surrounded Jericho. It was a highly protective city. Three stories high, this wall went. And they said, "You hang that red rope out there, and we'll protect who's ever in your house." If they're not in there, we don't protect them. And so as soon as the spies left, she put the rope out. She didn't wait till she heard if they'd gotten the troops there or not. She immediately put it out. And sure enough, according to their word, he said, we're going to take care of her because she hid the spies. And then in verse 18, he said, and ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasure of the Lord. He said, this is mine. You don't take anything. There are not any spoils in this victory for you. You've heard it said, to the winner goes the spoils. And normally, when they conquered a country or conquered a town, a city, that they took the spoils. They took the silver and the gold. They took the good stuff. They took the good animals. They took what they wanted, in fact. But he said, there are no spoils in this one. This is mine. Everything in there, everything in that city will be consecrated to me. Don't touch anything. You leave it alone. Okay, let's see what... Sure enough, let's go to chapter 7. You can just rest assured that somebody ain't going to pay attention. This might give you some idea why some of you get locked down. There's a guy by the name of Achan who is headed for an Achan. There's a guy, old Achan, just can't keep his hands off some stuff. And because of him, everybody is going to be in trouble. Because of him, there's going to be some real problems. So when they go in, verse 1, chapter 7 said, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah. Notice, they're all a big family. These are the 12 tribes of Israel. These are God's people. You can't just say, hey, I'm disassociated with these guys. So he took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is another little town, which is beside Bethaven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but only let about 2,000 or 3,000 go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. They went up and said, hey, there's not many folks up here. We can whip them easy. Said, no use sending the whole army up there. We can defeat them. Said, just send a few of us. And that's what they did. They sent a few of them, and a few of them got killed. They whipped them. Ai, the little place that they said is nothing, just kicked their posterior exterior. I won't have to translate that, do I? Okay, good. They come out, and Joshua, I want you to notice, verse 6, Joshua began to pray. Joshua rent his clothes and fell up to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until eventide. He's been there all day long. He and the elders of Israel, and they put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, O Lord, wherefore hast thou brought these people into Jordan? Joshua began to pray. He's been, oh God, what happened here? Why did you bring us in here? Why did we get defeated? We had some folks killed. This is not good. It's amazing how anytime we start having problems, how quick do we pray? Nobody has ever called me up and said, Leland, would you pray for me? We just had oil on my land. Nobody's ever said, Leland, would you pray for me? I won the lottery. Or, Leland, would you pray for me? I had an aunt that died and left me some coins, man. I got money now. Nobody ever asked for prayer at that time. But when trouble comes, would you pray for my parole officer? Would you pray for my probation officer? Now, some of you have been praying. I know some of you prayed God to kill her. That's... That's not right. That's not going to work. But now then I want you to notice what God says in this. Joshua is praying. Israel is praying. The leaders of Israel over are praying. And in verse 10, the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Quit praying. I want to talk to you tonight about stop praying and do something. God said, stop praying. Get up. We got some problems here. Why are you praying? This is not something you pray about. This is something you do about. We're always wanting God to do something for us. God, take my habit away from me. Why don't you just stop it? God, take cocaine away from me. Out of Adelwood. Said, man, I prayed God would take cocaine from me. He said, they throwed me in jail for using cocaine. And said, I was in jail. I prayed every day, God take cocaine from me. They let me out of jail and God didn't do it. I started using again. They throwed me back in jail. I prayed, God, take cocaine away from me. And they let me out of jail and I started using it again. He said they sent me to Safe P. For 6 months, I prayed, God, take cocaine away from me. I got a Safe P. I started using again. Said, now I'm here in Idlewood. He said, why didn't God take cocaine away from me? Now, let me tell you something. The Bible said there's no temptation taking you but such is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above your able, but will, with the temptation, make a way to escape. You can get out of there. If this building catches on fire tonight, there's a sign back there that says exit. And anybody in here with the building burning said, I'm God's child, he's going to deliver me. No, you're going to become a burnt offering. Because there's a way out. He gives us a way out. And he said, Joshua, we got to solve the sin problem. We don't pray about the sin problem. We stop the sin problem. We find out what the problem is and take measures to stop it. And he said, you got a thief in your midst, and that's why you've been punished. And instead of checking things out, he didn't pay any attention to me. And so now you got some problem. Verse 11, Israel hath sinned. We got a sin problem, God said. And then notice in verse 15, and it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. He said, we're going to start a search. We're going to start searching the rooms. Huh? Yeah, we're going to start searching the attic. We're going to start searching suitcases. We're going to start searching. They had a search. They started with the families. They started with the head of each tribe of Israel. And then they worked down till they come to Achan. And Achan, look at verse 21. And here's Achan's excuse. When I saw among the spoils. Now, let me stop right there. They weren't any spoils. Remember when we talked about that? God said, don't take anything. So he didn't see anything among the spoils. Not any spoils. God had told him they weren't any. He said, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonianish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. By the way, before every theft, there's a covetousness. It all starts on the inside. That's why we can't blame outside things on outside things. It starts inside. All adultery starts with lust. All thieving starts with covetousness. All murder starts with hate. It's an inside thing. And he said, I did these things. I took those things. I coveted. There's no spoils. That's not a very good excuse, Achan. Now, notice verse 25. Move down there. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned him with fire after they'd stoned him with stones. So you pretty well guess he's dead. I mean, that's punishment, isn't it? We're not talking about a gurney and an injection here, people. They burned him with fire and stoned him with stone. This is the punishment. See, sin has got to be dealt with. One of the ex-inmates that has been a friend and served God for a long time made this statement. I never thought I'd like this. But he said, Leland, we're loving people right into hell. Now, that doesn't mean not to love people. We keep telling people there's an easier way. We keep saying that there's another way besides that bloody old cross. We keep saying, look, you just join me and we'll go into the beautiful wizard. We'll meet the Wizard of Oz. We'll go down the primrose lane, as it were. You just come on to church. You just quit drugging. You just quit doing this. You quit doing that. Let me tell you, until sin is dealt with, you do not have a prayer period. You can pray for grandma all you want to and it'll bounce off this wall, because until sin is dealt with in our lives, until we come to him and say, dear God, I am a sinner. Save my rotten soul. Now, once we are God's child, the Holy Spirit opens up the entire world to us. But until sin is dealt with, we're not going anywhere. The Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the only prayer we've got. We can pray for all kind of things. We can pray for success. We can pray for a job. We can pray for this. We can pray for that. But until we get the sin problem settled, we're not one of God's children. Now, once you're God's child, and some of us are pretty disobedient children, just like with our own parents, many of us just have not honored. You know, the Bible said the first commandment with a promise was honor your father and mother. Didn't say obey father and mother. It said honor your father and mother. There you father and your mother. You honor them. It doesn't make any difference. Didn't say if they deserved it. So, well, you don't realize how sorry my daddy was. Doesn't make any difference. You can honor him. You won't be lying about him if you're honoring him. Maybe you can't brag on him much, but you can still honor him. You can honor your mama. Well, my mama was sorry. Might have been. But that doesn't give you the opportunity to be sorry too. We act like if somebody else does something, it gives us a free run on something else. Well, you don't realize how sorry those people there with me are. Man, I got some sellies that are bad. You know. No, man. See, if we're not obeying God, there's a prayer also. The Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, that's for the sinner. That's for the lost person. That's for the person that if they die just for a minute is going to hell. It's very simple. It's cut and dry. There's two types of people on earth, saved and lost. Everybody you see is either saved or lost, either going to heaven or they're going to hell. But for the saved people, there's many of us that are not doing too well as saved people. We're not bringing much honor to our Heavenly Father. And there he said, if we'll confess our sin. Notice he didn't say if you straighten up. He said, confess your sin. It's sin. Quit arguing about it. Well, I don't think that's wrong. I don't think that's right. What does the Bible say? We are having a lot of problem in our time about, well, it's all right to do that. Well, this is legal. It doesn't make any difference. It's legal or not. Doesn't make any difference what the world says. What God say? In most every town that Achan had been in, and the next city that they take, by the way, if we were to go on in this story, God gives them the spoils. They can go take the spoils. But in this one, he said, don't take any. And Achan does, and for that, he paid with his life. We know the rules. Some of you are so good at the rules, you could teach the next AA class. You could teach the next counseling class. You've been through it so many times, you got it memorized. And still, we just keep on beating our head against the wall. God told Joshua, stop praying and do something about it. We're going to stop this thing. We've got sin in the camp. We've got some sin here that's got to be dealt with. Our churches are filled with it. Everywhere we look, there's not much conviction anymore. You can't tell by looking at most people whether they're Christian or non-Christian. I better not go there. I found out. Why folks are not working. We were at a turning point, and this gal wasn't in the gal that had the ring here. Craig was with me. Craig said, did your nail gun go off? And I thought that's kind of good. So this past Monday, a kid that's one of my step-grandchildren sitting there, and he had some lip rings. And I said, did you lose control of your nail gun? He said, what? I said, your nail gun. I said, you lose control of your nail gun? He said, that's a lip ring. I said, that's wonderful. Now, he also told me he couldn't get a job. You don't know why? See, I can tell you why. You put on them goofy haircuts, you put on all that metal, and you put them tattoos across your forehead, and then you say, well, won't nobody hire me? Well, they're afraid somebody will see you working for them. You ever think about that? Hey, but we don't deal with any of those things. That's, hey, you let him express himself. Well, Achan got to express himself, and then they stoned him and burned him. I bet you if he stood up here and talked about this, he could give you some instruction. Because whether society gets on us or not, there's a God in heaven, the same one that told them what to do with Achan. This very same God is sitting in heaven tonight, and he's going to deal with us. There's come a time we're going to stand before him. And all the arguments you've got, he's going to listen to them. And then point out why you're totally wrong and why I'm wrong. I don't have any argument with God because I can't win. I'd have to say, Job, who God said was the best Christian on earth, Job said, I abhor myself. You know what that means? That means that he didn't have a great self-image. Well, you just need a better self-image. Goodness, that's your problem now. You think you're better than everybody else. Hey, we think we know everything. Well, you just need to learn to love yourself. That's our problem. We all love ourselves. We were at a family Christmas, and there was a 9-month-old or and a 2-year-old, and they didn't share very well. You could tell that old nature starting real early in life. So you don't have to wait to start school to see when it's going to pop up. Let me tell you, we're going to have to face the sin question before Almighty Holy God. You might look good up beside me. You might look good up beside Craig. You might look good up beside Cooper. You might look good up beside Rick. But I'm going to tell you something. Stand before a holy God. And this is real. You wanna watch a reality show? You want a reality check? We're going to stand before a holy God. And just because it was allowed, just because they said it's okay, just because they said that was an alternate lifestyle doesn't make it right, people. Sin is sin. And God tells us specifically what it is. Just like he did with Achan. He said, don't do this. He spelled it out. And Achan did it. I really think what's kind of amazing about all this is, I think about it, I'm amazed that only one did it. I figured it might be a crowd. If it had been in our day, it would have been a whole group taking stuff. What about facing Almighty God? I can't stress that too much. I see, if you do it today, you can stop the problems of tomorrow. Just saying, Lord, hear my. Just saying, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Lord, I don't want to go to hell when I die. Lord, I'm coming to you the best way I know how. It is best in my heart. I don't understand everything about it. I don't know all that Jesus did for me. But I'm going to trust you and nobody else to save my soul. You pray that prayer. That'll take you to heaven. I guarantee you. You pray it and mean it. Or, if you're God's child and you say, Lord, I'm letting this stand for me. I've got this habit. It's wrong. Jesus told the woman caught in adultery, he said, go and sin no more. He didn't say go and taper off. He didn't say go and get counseling. Every week I'm asked by somebody in Ector County Jail, well, you know, I need some counseling. I said, no, you don't need any counseling. You need to get saved. You need to get right with God. You need to get your Bible. And you and I are not any different than they are. That's what you need. That's what I need. That's where we are. Now, with that said, I'd like you to bow your heads. With heads bowed and eyes closed. As I said earlier, there's only two kind of people in each seat. Either you're saved or you're lost. All heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And from your heart of hearts, as honest as you can be, you say, Leland, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. If what you said is true, then I am lost. Would you just ease your hand up? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. You say, Leland, I'm lost. I've never been saved. Would you pray for me? Is there one? God bless you. I see your hand. I see yours and yours. You slip them back down once you put them up. Once I recognize you. Anybody else, real quickly. I see yours, sir, at the back. God bless you. Anyone else? I've never been saved. I want you to pray for me, Leland. Anyone else, real quickly, and we're going to pray. Now then, number two, I said, for those that are saved, and you've just been playing church, you're playing Christianity, and you know you are. I'm not telling you a thing you don't know. This is not a surprise to you. And you need to confess that sin and start living. You need to get in a church if you're not in one. If you're in one, you need to start acting like you know what you're doing. You need to start living for God. And you know what that means. We don't have to put that on a board. You know what I'm talking about. You say, Leland, would you pray for me? I'm God's child, but I'm not a very good child. I need help. Would you pray for me? God bless you. I see your hand, sir. Anybody else? Real quickly. Real quickly. I see yours and yours. Yes. Anyone else? Now, here's what I want you to do. Right now, I want you to stand to your feet, head still bowed, and eyes still closed. Remember what I said a while ago. If you've never been saved, here's what I want you to do. That first group that lifted your hand, with your heads bowed, and your eyes closed, from the bottom of your heart, I want you to say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. This is what you say to God. And I don't want to go to hell when I die. I'm coming to you the best way I know how. I don't understand everything about it, but I'll turn everything over to you as best I can. I'll trust you and nobody else to get me to heaven. Thank you for dying for my sins. That's what I want you to pray. Those of you that know the Lord Jesus Christ and are God's child and are not living for Him, I want you to come in a moment and I just want you to kneel and say, Lord, you said if I'd confess my sin, you're faithful and just to forgive it. This is what I'm coming to do. As Charles sings, first group, come and trust Christ. Now make your public profession. Say, I'm trusting Christ as my Savior. Second group, come and pray. Come on, right now. Jesus died on the cross publicly for you. You can certainly come publicly for Him. Come on. Come on. Head still bowed, eyes still closed, nobody looking around. Earnestly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Tonight He's speaking to you as a Savior. One day He'll speak to us as a judge. Tonight He's a Savior. Would you come and trust Him? Come on. Are you doing what God wants you to do? Have you done what God wants you to do? This is the last chorus. No one come. Come home. Are you doing it? Come on. Earnestly, tenderly. One has come. We're going to sing one more verse. I want to give you the opportunity. I really do. God hadn't promised us tomorrow. Do what you know you need to do tonight. This is the last verse. Last chorus, come on. Our precious Heavenly Father, thank you for those that come tonight. Thank you for those that struggle with this. Thank you for those that just need some more courage to step out for you. And I pray, Father, you'd give them another opportunity. Thank you for those that did come and did have the courage. And Father, we pray that you'd go with us and protect us this week. Those that should have made a decision and made the wrong one, Father, give them another opportunity. We ask that you'd give them one more chance to come to know you. Thank you for those that are here. In Christ's name, amen. Refreshment bars open. Don't forget the little manual. What have I done? What do I do now? Pick up the calendar. God bless you.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.